Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
We're talking with Bruce Jones of Tax Wealth. And Bruce, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Bruce, you've been working with tax strategies for quite a few years. Please tell us a little bit about your background and how you got started in this business.
Okay. On a personal level, I've married 45 years now with my wonderful wife, Lil, and we have 2 kids and 3 grandkids. Tragically, one is in college, only because it makes me that much older. On a business level, I got involved in financial services way back in 1970. Got involved into tax and financial planning in 74 and been going on ever since. My company, Tax Wealth, has been now around for 23 years. And essentially, Tax Wealth is a tax analysis and solutions research company where we come alongside CPAs and attorneys, other financial advisors, to work with them to help solve their clients' tax problems as well as our own clients.
And Bruce, I've had the pleasure of working with you on a couple of cases, and
yes.
I can say without hesitation that you would think a lot of times that everything would be thought of at the CPA level or at different levels with their current advisors, but a lot of times they just don't have time to get deep into some of the strategies that really make sense for clients. Is that a fair statement?
I think that's a very fair statement. It's important to understand that there's so much involved in the tax world. And the CPAs of the world, the enrolled agents of the world, the general practitioners in accounting of, in the tax world, oftentimes are perceived as everything tax planning, but the reality is they are focused in other areas of tax planning, more in the compliance area as opposed to the proactive tax planning area as we are.
And especially these days, now there's so much complexity going on, so much change going on in the world these days. So what does Tax Wealth do, Bruce? What type of clients do you work with, and what kind of strategies do you implement, as an example?
Okay, our focus is working with real estate property owners, business owners, principally that sector. And the types of things that can be accomplished, if, for example, a person is selling a business or if they're selling real property, there are things in tax laws that we can access that can mitigate those taxes substantially, in many cases reduce it, defer it, sometimes eliminate it.
So there's a lot of business owners out there that we're talking with, obviously. That's our market, is age 50 plus business owners.
Right.
And they're thinking, okay, next few years, I might sell it, I might transfer it over to someone else, I might own a building that the business is located in, and I might sell that, or I might divest myself of that. All of these transactions are normally taxable transactions.
Correct.
So what are some examples of how you might work with someone to help mitigate some of those taxes or defer them or whatnot? Just a couple of brief bullet points. We'll get into some examples after the break.
Sure. First of all, I think it's really important to understand that there's a tax planning process that needs to be embraced. Tax planning is not an overnight thing. So you need to understand what their goals, their objectives are, and really bore down into that so that we as the advisors have the ability to really focus ourselves for their best benefit. The most important thing that any potential seller of a property, whether it's real estate or a business or otherwise, needs to keep in mind is you never look first to the tax benefits. You always look first to the economic substance of the transaction that you might do. If that passes muster, then you look at the tax benefits and how best those benefits can be of help to you.
Very wise counsel. So a lot of people will hear about a tax strategy and just gravitate right to that because they think that's going to be the holy grail of it's going to help them, and they hate to pay taxes. But what you're saying is, you got to look beyond that.
Absolutely.
Where do you start? What's your first step in a process with someone then?
Okay. In our case, we're very value-driven. So we prefer to earn the right to serve the client first before the client makes any commitments or even pays a dime. So what we do is start with their tax returns. We do a complimentary, what I call a second opinion tax diagnosis of their returns to identify missed opportunities and even more so taxes that they've wasted. In other words, taxes that they really didn't have to pay. So we find those. For those folks who are selling their businesses or real estate, for example, we do a second, in addition to the second opinion tax diagnosis, we do a pre-sale tax and income analysis to identify what the real tax hit would be, the types of taxes involved, and what tax law provides to be able to mitigate, defer, or sometimes eliminate those taxes.
So first a diagnosis to see if they've already wasted some tax money.
Correct.
And they can maybe go back and amend tax returns for certain strategies and things that we'll come back to after the break. And also, if they're thinking about a future transaction, let's take a look at what that's going to look like and see if we can improve upon that situation.
Exactly.
Okay. So we're going to take a brief break while I get my thoughts together here, Bruce, about the name of your company, which is Tax Wealth. And when we come back, we're going to ask you to share some stories and some tips and ideas and precautions for our listeners so that they can be well planned. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. This is Spike Reel for The Exit Coach. Business owners, can you name the 8 key value drivers that you and your manager should be focusing on to increase the value of your business? Introducing the Sellability Score Index. Visit our website and answer 25 questions about your business, and you will instantly receive your sellability score, showing you how well you stack up in the 8 value driver areas. It's a great management tool. It's absolutely free for our listeners. Just visit exitcoachradio.com and click Get My Sellability Score.
Olive Crest is a local nonprofit organization dedicated to preventing child abuse, treating and educating at-risk children, and preserving the family one life at a time. For 40 years, Olive Crest has provided safe, loving homes to at-risk youth throughout Southern California, Nevada, and the Pacific Northwest. There are many ways you can help, including volunteering or becoming a foster parent. Go to www.olivecrest.org or call 1-800-550-CHILD to learn more. That's 1-800-550-CHILD. Call today.
Welcome back, friends. We've interviewed dozens of advisors now, over 50, on a wide variety of topics, and you'll find all of their interviews and highlights online at exitcoachradio.com, or you can listen on iTunes or on your mobile device. And I'm talking with Bruce Jones of Tax Wealth. And Bruce, before the break, you kind of set us up for that there's a lot of ways that business owners can do a diagnosis of ways they may have already wasted money on taxes, but they could recapture. And one of the things we hear a lot about is cost-segregated depreciation of buildings. Can you explain a little bit about that or give us an example of how that works?
Sure. Cost segregation is the ability under tax law for a property owner that has improved real estate. Could be apartment buildings. It could be even single-family rentals. It could be commercial buildings. But it gives the property owner the ability to partition out certain components that are tied to that property and literally change its character from real property to personal property and accelerate the depreciation on those components to 5, 7, or 15 years rather than the typical 27.5 or 39-year schedule for the other types of properties. And what that does, it either gives the property owner more tax benefit immediately that they can apply against a taxable gain on properties that they might want to sell, or it gives them an instant increase of cash flow tax-free.
That sounds fantastic. So what you're saying is a building is really a system of different components.
Correct.
And each one of those can be looked at separately and use a different depreciation schedule. And you can go back on this?
You can.
How many years can you go back typically?
Well, they've changed it recently, but I think it's 3 years, as I recall.
Up to 3 years, yeah. So you can look at that and potentially recapture quite a bit or accelerate quite a bit of depreciation and recapture.
Yeah, and in some cases, it may even be possible if a person has sold their property within the last 3 years to actually do a look-back study and go back on that property they no longer own and capture benefit.
That's incredible. So why doesn't everybody already do this?
That's an amazing thing to me, because this has been around since January 1st of 1987. But most property owners I've talked to through the years have never heard of it before.
Are there reasons why an accountant, for instance, might not recommend that to a client? Are there particular situations where, I'm sure there are people out there going, why haven't I heard about this? And is there a reason why I haven't heard about this?
My best answer for that is that the CPAs who have heard about it do not understand it. And they also only have heard about it perhaps years ago when the market for cost segregation was entirely different, especially the cost to do cost segregation were entirely different than they are today.
So the CPAs may be settled into this the accounting relationship, and over the years it's just, well, we just never have, so we never will, kind of thing?
Pretty much.
But you can come in and do a diagnosis on something like this and say, well, let's take a look.
Right, exactly.
And if we are able to find that this might benefit you, then we'll. Is that how you get paid out of some of the savings of something like that, or your firm, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's the joy of doing what I do, is I'm always paid out of tax savings. It really never comes out of the client's pocket. And so we end up with just a very small portion of what they were able to save in taxes.
Money that was already gone or was going to go to the government now
exactly.
comes to you, and they benefit many times over.
Correct.
Sounds like a no-loss situation. So tell us another story about the pre-sale side of things. Do you have anything like that you want to share with us?
Well, can I give you an example on cost seg first?
Oh, yeah,
and then,
of course.
And then go to another one. A husband and wife in their early 40s last year gave me a call right after they paid $40,000 in income taxes to the IRS. They were not happy. So in talking to them, I did discover that they owned 6 small unit investment properties. And so I facilitated a forecast of benefits and cost segregation, and we discerned that 4 of those properties were great candidates for it, and the net result of doing cost segregation was we were able to recapture through the amendment process $16,000 of the $40,000 that they paid, plus get an additional $86,000 of tax savings, totaling $102,000.
Wow. I bet they're glad they called you.
They were pretty happy.
So it went well beyond what they paid, and they were able to recast and recapture, and everybody's happy.
Very happy.
That's fantastic. Okay, tell us about a pre-sale type of a situation where you might go in and help someone.
Okay, well, this is more on the higher side, but it's indicative of what can be accomplished, even in very complex situations. Had a situation where a client had, along with 2 siblings, inherited through a family limited partnership that owns a C corporation, and the corporation owns a whole bunch of commercial industrial properties worth around $60 million. And one of the siblings, and that was about 18 years ago, but one of the siblings wanted to be bought out of the family limited partnership for $4 million. The only way to accommodate that was for the corporation to sell one or more of its properties. And of course, that would trigger some pretty massive tax problems. So they identified 2 properties that they were willing to sell, submitted it to our company for review, and the analysis proved out that if they were to sell the 2 properties apart from proper planning, they would net out about $900,000 short of the $4 million that they would need after all the costs of sale, and transaction costs, and the taxes to be paid. All the taxes were, 3 of the taxes were corporate at 40% plus, and the personal level was a 34.3%. Through proper planning, we were able to show them how to sell only one of the 2 buildings, which was valued at a little more than $5 million, and eliminate entirely the corporate taxes and defer the personal taxes for 30 years, and the person selling his interest in the family limited partnership ended up with $4 million at close of escrow tax-free.
So you met their objectives beautifully, and a lot of that came by saving in the taxes of the whole transaction.
Correct.
So what I've always liked about you, Bruce, is that you kind of you come in with the creativity, but you're also using caution in these types of structure, in these types of transactions. You're not just, you know, there's a lot of people that are hearing about some of these tax, there's promoters out there that'll say, yeah, this will work for you, and then the next thing the business owner knows, they've done a listed transaction and they're getting audited and they're getting letters from the IRS. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like with what you're doing, it's all built into the code somewhere or another, and they're basically, you're using a great deal of creativity and caution at the same time.
Well, actually, the creativity stems because of the tax laws themselves. then the question is, why do we pay taxes in the first place? Because it's the law. But what people need to realize, Bill, is that it's equally the law that we don't have to pay as much as we have to. In that, indeed, through the years, actually the last 100 years since the laws were originally created in 1913, Congress has given us specific laws to mitigate or even eliminate taxes. The problem is the IRS will never reveal what they are. They leave it to us to mine those out. That's called proactive tax planning. But it's even more important to understand that when a person ventures into tax planning, they should do it in a synergistic fashion with a core of advisors working for their benefit. That would include their CPA. That should include their attorney. The CPAs are on the compliance side. So in my process, the last step before implementation is done, we want to make sure that the counsel that are the experts in this particular approaches that we want to use get together with their CPAs and through tax law bring the CPA up to a level of understanding, so now they can make an informed opinion rather than a reactive no, because they're not aware of it or they don't understand it.
And the reactive no, I think, was what a lot of people hear. If you come up with some kind of a new strategy, a lot of the time the CPA will go, well, no, we can't do that. Is that because a CPA is just maybe a little bit embarrassed that they haven't come up with a strategy in the past? Do you come up with that a lot and have to combat that with some of your clients?
Frankly, it's pretty typical. Yeah. Because they're not trained in proactive tax planning. They're more trained in uncovering problems, but they're not trained in how to solve them through active investigation through the tax laws themselves.
Excellent. So, Bruce, we have a couple minutes left. Give us a couple tips or ideas or precautions for our listeners, if you would.
Well, again, I want to reinforce what I mentioned earlier, that it's really very important to understand that this is a process. This is not accomplished overnight. So the first thing that anyone who is thinking about selling an asset, they want to start now in the investigation process, before they find a buyer, even. That being said, even if they are in escrow and they have the tax concerns, there are things that can be done, even in that position, to where those taxes can be handled and solved.
So it's not too late, even if you have a letter of intent, and you're thinking about, okay, this sale's going to happen, but boy, I'm not looking forward to the tax bill, and you've exhausted everything else that you can look at, why wouldn't they give you a call, Bruce?
I think they should.
I think they should.
They have no risk.
Okay, so how do they reach you? How do they find you? Give us a couple contact bits of information for you.
Okay, our website is very simple, www.taxwealth.com, and we have a toll-free number anywhere in the country, including Hawaii, and in Canada as well, for those folks who have properties perhaps or interest in the United States. And that is at 1-800-300-4723.
Folks, don't pay too much in taxes. Give Bruce a call. Try him out. Let him do a diagnosis and see what he can do for you. We'll be right back after this message. I've been talking with Bruce Jones of Tax Wealth, and we'll be back with another guest in just a moment.
What can you do in a minute? At ExitCoachRadio.com, you can listen to a daily tip, idea, or precaution from over 100 top advisors about how to prepare your business for the future. We upload new one-minute tips at 6 a.m. and 1 p.m. daily. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute. Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.